Good Friday to you. I'm Pastor Dole. Today we conclude our reflections on the week of Christ's Passion with Mark 15, where Pilate, the Roman ruler, tries to sway a crowd bent on murdering Jesus, asking them in verse 12, "What shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Jesus is condemned to die, though he had done no wrong. And if dying in a most painful way isn't bad enough, Jesus is first scourged with a whip that lacerated its victim so badly it could kill. But Mark gives few details, because Mark's focus is not on Jesus' sufferings. Mark wants to communicate the shame that Jesus willingly endured. Joel, what do you mean by shame? Shame, my friend, is a subjective thing that causes you to feel exposed, disgraced, defective. So shame is a feeling, a profound one, but it is more. It is the sense that your person, the essence of who you are, is all wrong. For Jesus, the Son of God and perfect man, it is about the complete loss of glory and honor. Jesus' mockers and attackers are not simply punishing him before killing him. Their goal is to strip away all glory, all honor, all dignity left to his person. And it begins when Pilate hands Jesus over to 600 soldiers who play dress-up, placing royal colors on Jesus to humiliate him, then taking thorns and twisting him into a crown to adorn his head. They strike his head and spit on him, saying in effect, "Jesus, your face is no better than dirt." All the while, feigning honor to make it sting more. After this, Jesus must then carry his cross to the place of his execution. So weakened he is, they have to compel a man named Simon to carry his cross. They come to Golgotha, where surprisingly, a mercy is shown to Jesus. They offer Jesus wine to numb the pain, mixed with myrrh to cause drowsiness, a bitter respite as the worst is at hand. But Jesus refuses it. Why does Jesus refuse this mercy? Because Jesus has come here to drink another cup. Remember, Jesus pleaded the night before that his Father take away the cup of wrath that a just God must pour out on sinners like us. And Jesus is resolved to drink this cup to the dregs, no matter how tempting it would be to lessen the trial by drinking this other cup. Why? Love. Love for us, my friend. To lessen his consciousness, to reduce the pain, the shame by even 1%, leaves us with only a 99% Savior. And Jesus won't be your 99% Savior. Jesus' refusal is his way of saying, "I came to be mankind's 100% Savior." Jesus endured every bit of the cross and its shame for you and me, which means he can save us to the uttermost. Mark goes on to write, and then they crucify him. It's four little words, three in the Greek. And after this, they play a game for his garments, which tells us that Jesus is exposed before all, entirely naked. Jesus has received physical abuse, verbal abuse, and now sexual abuse, as his clothes are ripped off and he is shamefully exposed to the public. By this we know our Savior understands every sort of shame, enduring it all so we can have healing from it all. And then Jesus endures more mocking. First, passerbys wag their head and call him a false prophet. "Ha ha, Jesus, if you're powerful enough to tear down the temple, why don't you come down from the cross?" And the chief priests pile on. "Look at Jesus now. He saved others, but look at him now. He can't even save himself." Cruel hearts know how to hit you where it hurts. They know Jesus' love for others is what he lives for, so they twist the knife right there. And then in verse 33, Jesus finds himself in darkness, and not just earthly. Jesus discovers the shame of being orphaned, a feeling what so many little ones cannot understand. "Why, Father? Why have you forsaken me? Why don't you want to be with me? I'm your child." As the hymn says, how great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away. And then Jesus uttered a loud cry and gave up his life. At that moment, two things happened. The temple curtain that separated God from sinful men was torn, and a Roman soldier discovers in his death that Jesus truly was the Son of God. The way to God has been opened for the worst of sinners, even a pagan who helped kill God's Son. As he sees a bloodied man who's been ridiculed, covered in spittle, and hanging naked on a cross, his eyes are open to see, my God is like that. And this is what he did to save me. Do you see that this is who your God is for you? My friend, if God would stoop this low, you have no shame that is greater than your Savior. Hebrews 12 tells us that Jesus so despised the shame that he met it head on to swallow up shame forever and to turn your shame into glory. And now Jesus calls you to run your race, fixing your eyes on him, to make the good confession and to glory in the shame of the cross. Remember who Christ is and marvel that you belong to him.